The nation's largest cannabis business brokerage, Green Life Business Group, gears up to be featured at the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference as one of the set speakers on our M&A panel. Green Life currently has over 150 exclusive cannabis businesses available on the market today, covering over 10 states. To see more of their exclusive listings, visit greenlifebusiness.com. Benzinga's Cannabis Capital Conference returns to Miami Beach on April 11th and 12th. I may be biased, but I'm telling you, this event is a can't miss. Join us to build the foundation of your next game-changing deal with CEOs and decision-makers from leading companies in the industry. We're talking about the next wave of businesses, strategies from the most profitable businesses, and exactly what investors are looking for in a challenging market. Go to bzcannabis.com to meet your next investor, co-founder, and new friends. A little pro tip from me, right now tickets are $1,000 cheaper than prices at the door. Get yours now. All right, welcome in again. Thank you all for tuning in. It is going to be a very, very interesting episode today as we bring more conversation about the intersection of cannabis and everything else. And CPG and industries and politics. My fearless host, Javier Jase, is going to be joining me in 5 seconds or 10 seconds. Ooh, less than five
seconds. 0 seconds.
0 seconds. The international of mystery himself, my Argentinian action figure best friend, Javier, what is up, man?
Doing great, doing great. I was actually, you know, getting some details for performers day for the Cannabis Capital Conference, April 11 and 12 at the Fontainebleau Hotel, the best conference out there, 16th edition of the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference, bzcannabis.com. I can't tell you who'll be performing at our after party, but I promise you they are big.
Yeah, it's going to be super, super exciting. I'm pumped. Y'all, you have to be there. bzcannabis.com. The QR code is in the right top hand corner for tickets. If you want to get involved, just reach out. We got you. Jesse Wild, what is up? Thank you for tuning in. So Javi, you're not going to stay for the interview. You're going to give us about, you know, 10 or so minutes of news in the cannabis space, but I'm very excited for this interview. And just to give you a sense of who it is, Gamut Management. Gamut Management from the website helps companies find authentic ways to engage with, create products for, and represent people with disabilities. And we're going to talk about some of their work in cannabis, what's happening in cannabis with representation with people with disabilities. And I can't wait to be educated. I'm Jesse Wild, I'm going to be educated today. And I'm very excited.
Many times we think about diversity and we think about ethnicity, we think about gender. We rarely think about functional diversity, right? I don't know if that is a word in English, but we definitely use it in Spanish, right? And I think it's very important because there's a different kind of stigma. It's, you know, a lot of people just avoid the subject. They don't want to talk about it, right? They like to
They don't feel they have to talk about it. I mean, we're gonna find out as well. And not to interrupt you, Javi.
Not at all. Let's get to some news. You know what I'm most excited about? And this is not self-promotion. This is real stuff. We have Twitter. Yes, Twitter speaking at the Benzinga Cannabis Capital Conference. This is the first time. And this is why it's important. It's not about Benzinga. It's not about us. It's about Twitter. It's about Twitter for the very first time going on record on a public forum talking about cannabis. How insane is that?
It's really, really cool, guys. And, you know, just to put in perspective, no, we are not going to have Elon Musk there. The most that man would do is smoke a joint on stage, right? I mean, a very, very smart man, very, very smart investor. But at the end of the day, we're going to have people that are actually the content generators, the people who are creating the standards for social advertising speak at this event. It's going to be super, super cool. We're also going to have Uber at the event. We're going to have Uber join us. Thank you again, Javi. I don't know what we'd do without you. So it's going to be a really, really cool event. Our agenda is 99% through. You can catch it, bzcannabis.com there as well. Get your tickets.
And what happened yesterday was so exciting as well, right? We did a 2.5-hour stream. We had a bunch of people from the industry. We had Rob Seekers from Polaris, Howard Schachter from Marimed, Emily Paxer from Poseidon, David Speckman from Brian Holdings, Al Harrington, NBA star, Viola, co-founder of the Viola Jefe, like he likes to call himself, and I love it. Gina Collins from Truly. We had Montel Williams, who needs no introduction, you know, TV host, activist, actor. And we
closed he had some incredible insights.
Live from Chile. It was amazing. You can find all of the recaps on Benzinga.com/cannabis. We've done recap after recap after recap. You can also catch the entire broadcast, 2.5 hours, on Benzinga's YouTube. Don't leave. Don't go now to see that. Don't go watch that now. Save it for later. Save it for the night. You know, it's almost like a Netflix documentary. You know, put your feet on the table and watch a 2.5 hour stream of people talking about weed and Twitter.
Yeah. You made that sound really, really cool. I'm just going to say that. Thank you, Javi. That being said, y'all, enough promotion about us and what we're doing and about Twitter. Let's dive into what's happening in the industry. Javi, where are you starting today, man?
Actually, I have a news item that is not cannabis related, but it's related to substances and addiction. Okay. Cocaine production hits an all-time high, according to a UN or United Nations report. A record of 2,000 tons of cocaine was produced in 2020. The report showed that although the COVID-19 pandemic disrupted drug markets, it has done little to curb the growth of the global cocaine trade in the long term. However, this report attributes the rise in cocaine production to an increase in coca bush cultivation, which is completely wrong, in my opinion. Coca leaves in Latin America are used to chew. They're non-intoxicating. They are good to face high altitudes, and they are a millenary substance, right? So the way that the UN usually looks at substances is similar to cannabis. It's like everything is a drug. And you know, it's not coca leaf production that is driving demand for cocaine. It's demand for cocaine that is driving cocaine production.
Amen to that. Absolutely. Hey, Javi, what do you make of like Lucy Scientific? I think that's NASDAQ LSDI. There's a few other companies as well that have recently applied to produce heroin and cocaine with Health Canada. Right. And I think somewhat of that is creating safe consumption zones, you know, for people to, you know, somewhat consume without overdosing, to wean off, you know, to get help. Right. It's a bridge, you know, and not just us throwing people in jail for consuming in general. But what do you make of that? Is that something that you think we'll see widespread adoption of? Or do you think that's just a reach in this country? You asked that.
I mean, I don't see widespread adoption, but I am a firm believer in policies of harm reduction, right? And assuming that something is happening and making it as safe as possible. Portugal has had amazing success curbing their opioid and heroin epidemic by creating safe consumption sites and different things. In Germany, you have similar situations. And even like if you compare it to, for instance, you know, abortion rights, you know, it's acknowledging that something happens, whether you like it or not, and provide a safe environment for it to happen, right? So I love it. I think Canada is taking a great lead on this, and I hope
Benzinga does not adopt anything Javi just said, just for a disclaimer's sake there. With that being said, I hear what you're saying, Javi.
I mean, this is not like an opinion that it should be done, right, or that people should be doing cocaine. I think like it's better if you don't, but if you're gonna, I really think it's good that it's done in a safe environment, that it's produced under rigorous conditions, that you know that there's no adulteration of the substance, right?
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, hey, I know you're going to hop off here soon. You are the newsman. You are the man who created the best cannabis news desk in the world. You are the best journalist out there, and I want you to get a couple minutes of other cannabis news stories in here.
So the Swiss government is considering legalization of adult use cannabis, as you may know, and they are trying to do a little trial in Zurich, set to launch this summer. The idea is that a group of 2,500 Zurich residents will be permitted to purchase cannabis for personal use in one of the main city's pharmacies, dispensaries, and social clubs.
Very cool.
What do you think of that? Like, do you like the approach, like this cautious approach of going like, okay, we'll pilot it with a few people and see how it works out and then move to the general public if it does?
Somewhat, right? I mean, it just depends on what you're going to move to the general public. It seems like these types of limited rollouts can be somewhat skewed in my mind. But, you know, I think they're doing it in a way that makes sense. in this regard. So we'll see. Such a politically correct answer and a very boring answer, but I don't really like limited rollouts.
I understand, but it's similar to this cocaine situation that you just mentioned in Canada, right? You test some things out, right? And then adjust the regulations in ways that it works, right? When we roll out cannabis regulations, we often do it very fast, which I agree with. I think, you know, it's a necessity. People suffer with it when they don't have access to legal cannabis. But then you have a bunch of people, the industry, activists, et cetera, saying, hey, we didn't do it right. Switzerland is taking a more cautious approach and saying, okay, we want to do this right. What is the best way to do it right?
And I think it's also the demand of the industry at large, right? You know, if you look at the demand of the U.S. industry, you have a lot of demands coming from a lot of different directions, right? You have, consumer demands, you know, pricing demands. You have social equity demands in the licensing deployment. You have MSO demands, you know, the people that are funding the lobbyists, right? I mean, which way do you go half the time? And, you know, I think you can say that there have been a few successful rollouts. I think Missouri so far has been successful. I think people are excited about Maryland. People liked Arizona when it rolled out. People are just baffled at the absolute mishandling of New York right now. But I think people understand, like, there's a lot of people that are like, well, they need to do better on social equity. And a lot of people would say the social equity part has been a big stalling point, but they've also not, you know, taken care of the 1,400 illegal pot shops out there. So, you know, I think,
you know, there's one thing we know, and that is that there's still no one way to do it right. There are definitely ways to do it wrong.
Well said. Well said. Javi, anything else you want to say before we get to our interviews?
Yeah, a bombshell out of the UK. A top secret report was leaked. It said that the British Home Office, so basically they had expert advisors in the UK saying they should decriminalize the possession of drugs, including cannabis. And again, that this was a harm reduction tool. And the UK government decided not to publish it. And then an advisor leaked it. Bombshell report on Benzinga.com/cannabis for all of the details on that after this show. That is it for me today.
Well said, Javi. Thank you as always, my newsy, wonderful friend. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day. Y'all say hey to Javi in the chat, reach out. Jesse Wild, thank you so much for tuning in. I don't disagree. Interesting that they invited cannabis. That's they being Twitter after reports of people leaving the platform after the whole blue check fiasco. Oh man, that was for sure.
Smart indeed.
Y'all stay tuned though. This is going to be, yeah. Javi, tune in, man. This is going to be a great interview. I'm going to learn a lot. You're going to learn a lot. It's going to be fun, but we will see you soon. All right, y'all. We have an awesome, 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 awesome interview here for you. We're going to bring on Marnie Nathanson, Director of Communications, and Mindy Shire, the head honcho over at Gamut Management. That's Gamut. Welcome in. How are you all? Thank you so much for being here. This is awesome. Thank you all. Marnie, Mindy, I just want to open the floor a little bit to get some introductions here because I don't think I said it nor will I say it as good as you. What do you do? Mindy, would you like to start? Tell us about Gamut Management and yourself.
Absolutely. So because, first of all, we don't know your audience and we don't know who's viewing, we always want to be sensitive to anybody that is not able to consume in a typical way. So as a visual starter, I am Mindy Shire. I am a white woman with curly red hair. I am 51 years old and I'm wearing a really fabulous snakeskin dress. And I'm very excited to be here. But just quickly, I am a fashion designer by trade, also the mom of a now 18-year-old son with muscular dystrophy, and started Runway Dreams, our nonprofit arm, in 2013. But Gamut Management, which we're really going to be talking about, in 2019 as the first of its kind consulting and talent management company exclusively with and for people with disabilities. It's all that we represent, and it's all that we work with brands in regard to getting into the space of people with disabilities.
Fantastic. Thank you. And Marnie, a quick introduction for you as well.
Thank you for having us. My name is Marnie. I am a white woman wearing a beige satin shirt My hair is shoulder length,
which is also fabulous. Thank you.
Yeah. And I am 38 as of yesterday, but I'm very excited to be here. Thank you. Our team heads up the 360 degree approach to communication, social media, PR, and influencer marketing with Gamut.
Amazing. Thank you both so much for being here. So I want to dive in. I want to dive in really quick. First, you know, Mindy, where was the need? How did you come into the need for Gamut into, you know, what you offer? And maybe through that question, can you just give us a sense of exactly what you offer?
Absolutely. So my need came personally, which generally all the great ideas in the world do. So I have a child with muscular dystrophy, and he really struggles with everyday tasks that we all take for granted, ranging from getting himself dressed because he can't do buttons and zippers to opening up a bag of chips because he doesn't have the dexterity, and pretty much everything in between. So when we look at the landscape of our world and the need for inclusion and what everybody's talking about, and what you were talking about in your earlier segment of understanding inclusion, generally people with disabilities are not included in that thought process. And people with disabilities are the largest minority in our world. 1 in 4 people identify as having a disability. And it's also the only minority that any one of us could be a part of at any stage in our life. So when you really think about that, why in the world wouldn't we be developing products and services that allow everybody to be able to use them? And that really was the genesis of starting Gamut.
Now, when it comes to Gamut management, you are somebody that offers maybe consultation, right? And is this consultation on how people build out storefronts? Is this consultation on how companies should be hiring? I'm just curious exactly, you know, how you're helping industries, you know, really be more inclusive.
It's a great question. Thank you for bringing that up. We really consult in every step of the process in including people with disabilities. So that very much is internal and external. So internally, really thinking through HR strategies, DEI statements, hiring practices, making sure offices are accessible, even if it's a virtual office, making sure that there's identifiers for all types of disabilities. And then of course, on the external, helping brands and companies develop products and services that are adaptive, as well as what Marnie's team does so beautifully, is really the communication is equally as important. Marketing, PR, social has so many touch points of making that communication adaptive and able to consume by many.
Kind of a question for both of you on different perspectives here. How has been the buy-in? You know, when you approach companies, Mindy, I mean, are people seeing the need? Are they buying in? Is it taking convincing? Has it taken a long time to get this up and running? Can you give us a sense of how companies are responding?
Absolutely. So I'll start. Marnie, please weigh in. I would say, thankfully, we are in a very different place than we were 10 years ago, and even shorter than that. When we launched with Tommy Hilfiger in 2016 and developed the first ever mainstream adaptive clothing line, it really did open the floodgates to have a global brand really see the need, put time, resources, and money behind developing adaptive product that really open the floodgates to other industries, even other, you know, global brands, understanding that this is a business opportunity, that people with disabilities are consumers. In everything that consumers touch, I guarantee there's a way to make it easier for people with disabilities, which is why we're so happy to talk to you today.
Yeah, amen to that. And I'm going to redirect to you in a second, Marnie, but I just saw a story today. I was scrolling through Instagram, and it was the first person ever, I think they said a level 5 disability or higher, finished a marathon. He ran the Barcelona Marathon. I thought that was incredible because I can't run a marathon and exactly. I'm perfectly healthy.
Exactly. So,
it just really puts things into perspective. But Marnie, I'd love to throw this question to you, but I think obviously this is more from, this is a consumer, this is a public question. How are you seeing buy-in when it comes to raising awareness for disability inclusion?
I think what's great is that people want to have the conversation. They're not afraid to ask questions. And that's the first step, is saying, hey, I'm not educated in this space. What do I need to do? And they're leaning on the experts to be able to help fill in the gaps. So what we're seeing on the social side is something that the cannabis industry is already seeing, in that websites need to be accessible. You can get sued if your website is not ADA compliant. And the next step to that will be social media. Your social media needs to be able to speak to the customer segment that is already embracing cannabis and is already your consumer and your patient. We're not speaking to them. So our job is to go to these industries, find the people who will listen. And it's a very easy buy-in because they realize they don't know what they don't know. And that's why Gamut exists.
Amen. So we have to follow up there. the accessibility of these digital, of the digital real estate of these companies, you know, let's go to cannabis, since this is a somewhat of a cannabis show. How is cannabis doing? Yeah, let's just make it a general question. I'm sure we can get more specific here. This is a question to either of you.
There's a lot of work to be done, but I do think that anybody we've talked to in the cannabis space says, oh yeah, our dispensary is ADA compliant, which is great, but that doesn't necessarily mean your dispensary or your location in general is accessible. We know that during the pandemic, a lot of people said, hey, we have this great idea of doing curbside pickup. Why is curbside pickup not something that always existed? Not all of your patients can get out of the car to walk into the store. Not all of your patients' caregivers are 21 plus. So you need to think outside the box as to what you can do to embrace this audience and what you can do to be a leader, making sure that the people who work for and with you know how to speak to people with disabilities when they're coming to purchase, know how your products do and do not work for people who may have one hand. So we are really excited to speak to those product developers and to the people running marketing to talk about how we can expand. I know that when anybody looks at a stock image library, there's a person in a wheelchair and everyone just assumes that's what disability means. But there's an opportunity to really embrace people with disabilities who love cannabis, who just happen to be amazing influencers too. And we can get their content on your feed, and they can represent your brand no different than any other influencer program that you go to. And your social media needs to be accessible. There's things that we do, like Mindy's image description when we started, to make your content accessible to all. So there's work to be done, but I do think there are people who are open to listening.
I hope you can forgive maybe a poor wording of this question. But this is a physical need in terms of the introductions. I think a lot of people would somewhat brush it off as kind of, I don't know how to say that, politically charged. If that makes sense, I'd like for you all to maybe comment on, this is actually something that's just, it makes it possible for people to buy products at the end of the day and people to feel included in content. Am I on to a correct direction there?
So I love that you're not afraid to ask that question. Thank you. There are no wrong ways to say anything if you're willing to be open and to learn, but Mindy can probably comment on the products in the fashion industry that we've worked on in particular, and how universal design, Mindy says all the time, if you design for and market to people with disabilities, you're including everyone. So I think Mindy can elaborate on that, since that's something you speak about often.
Absolutely. And I'm actually going to elaborate on it with a story, because I think it really is pointing to what you're asking. There was a teacher who was in a wheelchair, and he rolled up to school on a really, really snowy day. And the custodian was shoveling the stairs to get in. And the teacher said, would you mind shoveling the ramp? Because then I can get into school. And the custodian said, absolutely, you bet. Let me finish with the steps and I'll get there right away. And the teacher said, well, if you do the ramp first, everybody can get into school. And that's really the way that we talk to brands, we promote, you know, inclusion in that way. Because if you make it accessible for somebody with a disability to be able to utilize it, everybody can utilize it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. That was well said. That was enlightening. Thank you for that. Yeah, I know. Honestly, Marnie, it's kind of a mind blown moment.
Exactly.
Like,
it's exciting. It's an exciting time.
Yeah. You stray away from the norm to do the sensible. I like that a lot. So, I mean, I like that. It doesn't really matter if I like it. It's what needs to happen.
Exactly. But being on your show really does help. And it hopefully everybody listening is having an aha moment.
I hope so. I hope so. So let's dive in a little bit to how brands are. Can you give us an example maybe of how a cannabis brand can implement what you're talking about?
I think, first of all,
they can set up a meeting with us. And
I mean, clearly, if they didn't already fall in love with us. But really, again, we are here to meet companies where they are. And in the cannabis industry, you know, I'm going to venture to say we're at the beginning. I think we have so much opportunity, but it's really looking through the value chain of business, right? And starting from where we always like to start from, and that's education. It's really understanding who the consumer with a disability is. I guarantee you in all the dispensaries and everything that the cannabis industry has, there are consumers with disabilities already patroning. And we could make that experience so much better, not only with the product, not only with thinking about things, for example, like making the level of the Marnie, what's it called?
The counter.
Where they keep the cannabis.
Yeah. The display.
The counter. The counter is very high. And mm-hmm. if you are in a wheelchair, you're not even speaking directly to the person on the other side. Let's think through how better we can do that so that everybody can communicate properly. Again, obviously the packaging and how difficult it is to open, things like that. But it's also, it's even human engagement and educating how to communicate best with somebody with a disability. We hear this very often, and I'm sure this is something that your dispensaries could relate to if they've had this experience, that in many times with somebody with a disability comes with a caregiver. And it is something that we are working on as a company, but helping to have our clients understand that you speak to the person with a disability first, not the caregiver. But people instinctually think that if there's somebody in a wheelchair, somebody with a limb difference, or somebody that has a cognitive disability, you speak to the caregiver first, and they'll tell you what to do. You always speak to the human being first, and that's the one with a disability. And that type of customer service, let's say, goes so far that people with disabilities feel seen and heard and as important as every other patron that's going through there. Another, you know, quick example is when my son Oliver has medical marijuana. So he needs it a lot for his pain and whatnot. And the first time that this was my first rodeo too with doing something like this. He was under 18. So the line was around the corner, and I went up to the front and I said, excuse me, where's the line for the medical marijuana people? And they were like, at the end of this one. And I mean, I felt foolish, but the reality is Oliver couldn't stand in that. There's no way he wouldn't be able to, you know, wait that long, stand that long, whatnot. So thinking through things like that, let's have, as Marnie said, you know, curbside pickup, let's have a separate entrance for those that, you know, need extra support. Let's really think mm-hmm. we're making this experience the best that it can be. Marnie,
I was going to say, I was going to say an easier lift for those who are hesitant to really dive in, making sure that every video has captions, even your social media, even your lives need to have captions. When there are conferences, you need to have an interpreter at all of the panels. This is easy, light lift ways to be inclusive, making sure that earnings calls have transcripts to be provided afterwards. Anything that you can do for anybody who might be viewing or hearing or seeing your content in a different way. There are very accessible and easy fixes to be more inclusive.
That's very interesting. I am going to take that back to my team immediately about having an interpreter at our conference. That said, you know, I only have a couple more minutes here. So I kind of want to get to a call to action for you all so people can find you. But B, you know, compare us with other industries a little bit, because cannabis, you know, we're having a whole month of only interviewing women leaders in the space. You know, it's something I want to continue doing very actively, is supporting those that are underrepresented. But representation is going the opposite way in this industry right now, on the DEI level that we normally think of. So can you give us a sense of how disability representation is in cannabis, whether it's, you know, buy-in from brands and companies or hiring or whatever, you know, stat you want to compare us with to other segments and other industries that you're working in?
Oh, you want me to start, Marnie? Okay. So I should say, view the cannabis industry truly no different than other industries that we are working in. The thing is that there needs to be that level of education. There really needs to be that understanding that people with disabilities are consumers, and let's get involved. Mm-hmm. It's a service-driven industry. It's a product-driven industry. It's a relationship industry. All three of those are no different than the fashion brands we work with, the beauty brands we work with. Cannabis industry should be no different and should view the inclusion of people with disabilities as a true business opportunity.
Amen. If you start from the ground up, it's a lot easier than doing it later on. Yes. I can imagine. I actually did have one more question for you. What is the difference between, was it ADA approved? Was that what you said? ADA approved versus being truly accessible. Does ADA approval not necessarily cover what we would hope it would cover?
I think there's obviously nuances to everything. You know, the ADA does only cover what's under its umbrella. So when we think about accessibility, there's so many things to think about, from what Marnie was talking about, even in, you know, running the show and having interpreters and making sure that everybody that's coming to your conference is, you know, are there ramps? Are there railings? Is there enough seat for wheelchair users? That is considered, you know, being as accessible as you can be. I don't know if all of that would be under the ADA. Marnie, would you want to?
It's not. Yeah. But there's opportunity to even ask the people who are already coming in. You know, someone could say, do you feel like this is accessible for you? What can we work on here? And I think once you start talking to the community, you'll get a sense of where the changes need to be made. But definitely on the digital side, I don't think ADA covers everything, although we don't want to claim that we can speak on behalf of the ADA here.
Yes.
But accessibility across the board, I think it changes every day. And I think it also is really important to hear from the community directly about what is not working for them, whether it's in writing on a website or not.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to spin off of something that is really absolutely the foundation of Gamut, that we don't do anything without people with disabilities by our side in every step of the process, starting from education, working through. I mean, we just did a store visit for a global brand with 12 people with disabilities so that they could see firsthand the challenges of what it's like to navigate their store. And it's really, it is nothing about us without us. That is our mantra.
Well, so much so that Gamut created a seal of approval that is going to be launching on products to prove to the world that these products have been vetted with people with disabilities and they are approved by them to be out there in the marketplace.
Fantastic. Awesome. So can we get a quick, how do we find you? Mindy, where can we find Gamut Management? How can people reach out to you?
Well, you can follow us on all the social channels, which I'm sure Marnie can give you. But our website is GAMUT Management@management.com.
Wonderful. Mindy, Marnie, thank you so much for being
thank
with
you
us.
So much.
Really appreciate
it. Amazing. We're so grateful.
No, I am too. You know, this is something that we wouldn't have talked about if I'm going to be.
You heard
frank.
It here first.
Yeah,
this
without
is the
you
first
two.
Place.
Well, it's thank you for yeah, giving us the chance to talk with
beginning.
You. And you know, I don't think the expectation is perfection immediately, but we should all be striving for it to be better. So, Marnie, Mindy, thank you for bringing that message.
Thank you.
I can't wait to chat with you again and hopefully a positive update when we do talk again.
Amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you both. Be well. All right. All right. You heard it here, y'all. Thank you so much. It was a wonderful interview. Thanks again to Mindy and Marnie. Stocks to watch today. Charlotte's Web had their earnings. We had, Christina Lake hit the African group now in South Africa. There's a lot happening. Always follow us, Benzinga.com/cannabis for Javier and all of his amazing news. Or get the Benzinga app, even better. Scroll over to the cannabis news feed and just slide all your news infinitely, forever and always. You can never get enough with Benzinga. And get a ticket to our conference right there, corner of the screen, bzcannabis.com, or scan that QR code. Until Tuesday, have a wonderful rest of your week. Peace. Yeah.